News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
What in the world is going on? It's 6:06 on FM Talk 106.5. Dan Dalton.
8:06.
What'd I say? 6:06?
Mm-hmm. That was a couple hours. That would mean we're starting the show over.
That'd be fine with me. I'm pretty fired up. It's 8:06, as Dalton said. We do have a chance of rain today. You heard Dr. Bill's forecast. We should be clear and cool for Thanksgiving Day. That's what everybody really wants to know about. So there we go.
Yeah, and it's looking like some nice, cool football weather on Saturday night at Jordan-Hare for the night game Iron Bowl.
About that.
Ought to be quite the scene. Quinn Hillier joins us, as it is a Tuesday. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, guys.
So tell us all about it. You were in attendance. I'm assuming you made the flights and got up there, or if you drove, that you made it to the funeral. Is that the case?
I was at the memorial service for Vice President Cheney, and it was absolutely magnificent. Again, you know, set aside whether you agree with any or all of his decisions. The man was clearly a patriot. He served his country for 40 years. He did a lot of really good things, even, you know, right, left, and center will agree on a lot of the good things he did. And he was, as the ceremony showed, he was a good man. It was a ceremony 99.8% devoid of anything political or partisan. It was all about Cheney the man. It was about, you know, people that worked for him spoke about what a kind boss he was. His grandchildren brought tears because they were, he spent so much time with them. One granddaughter said he was both her hero and her best friend. It was really, really moving. It was the best of America. The service was beautiful. The music was outstanding. And it was also something where, for maybe obvious political reasons, but you really did have right, center, and left there in attendance, and you know there were maybe 1,500 people there, but there were people from all political shades, and it said something good about the country.
Give us an idea who some of the notables were that were in attendance at the Cheney funeral.
Well, you had former Presidents Bush and Biden. You had, I think, all the living former vice presidents, Harris, Quayle.
Gore.
Gore. And, you know, you had some senators and congressmen. You had a whole bunch of the sort of old conservative intelligentsia that people that read highfalutin magazines would recognize, and then you had people. You had people as diverse politically, people who fought against each other politically, like Karl Rove and James Carville. Of course, Carville was there because his wife Mary Madeline had worked for Cheney. It was sort of a who's who of who, or a lot of it was a who used to be who gathering. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is, the media loved Dick Cheney for 25 years because he was sober, he was thoughtful, he was, you know, he didn't have a lot of words, but he was approachable. They made him into, sort of the ideal public servant. And then in 2 months, at the beginning of the Bush term, even before 9/11, they needed a scapegoat, and Bush was too popular during his first 2 months honeymoon, and he had a sunny disposition. So they suddenly, very deliberately, turned Cheney into this Darth Vader figure. They even used the term Darth Vader. And it was one of the most unfair things I've ever seen in politics, and especially when you know that behind the scenes, he was such a good and kind and decent man. He was, you know, he was demanding of the people that worked for him, but he went out of his way again and again when his people you know, needed help, had problems, whatever, he went out of his way to look after them.
Hey, Quinn, and you mentioned that last week, too, and I wanted to bring it up then, but, you know, you talk about the media turning him into a scapegoat, the same media that loved him for a certain amount of time, yeah. And then when it was suitable for them to turn on him, they did. Sounds a lot like a certain president that I know, President Trump, and how, and you know, Darth Vader for Cheney, but Hitler, the term thrown around so often for Trump and fascist. I mean, do you not see any similarities there?
No, well, the difference there is the media didn't spend 25 or 30 years treating Trump as if he was a good guy. They didn't have to shift on a dime to do that like they did with Cheney.
I mean, he seemed to be everyone's favorite guest.
Oh yeah, but he was a guest because he was like a carnival barker. I mean, you know, he was outrageous and outlandish, and that makes for good TV. But that's different from treating somebody accurately, as it was for 25 years, as a thoughtful, you know, sober sort of statesman-like person.
But I guess my point is, if the media is able to take what you say is good man, good American, and completely sour his name among the entire electorate, they could do the same thing with Trump.
I'm just saying the circumstances are a little different. They didn't have to, you know, as I say, they didn't have to shift 180 degrees.
Speaking of shifting 180 degrees, what do you make of, and Carville, you know, I was thinking about him, but I forgot his wife, a Republican, yep. And very involved in the Bush White House, so that makes sense. But like Maddow showing up, I mean, the only thing that ever changed with Cheney and Maddow's relationship is that they both disliked Trump, and the same lady who was one of the media that you're talking about that completely turned America on Cheney, showing up there happy as a clam.
Yeah, that was a little weird. I mean, you know, look, I actually talked to James Carville beforehand, and he said, Mary Madeline's going, and I'm not sure if I'm going. I don't think they want me. You know, so he at least had a little humor about it, and he knew why the invitation was there. It was because of his wife. I've got no idea what Rachel Maddow was thinking or why she was there. That made no sense to me.
Let's.
Meanwhile, Biden thought he was at the circus. So he had no clue.
And it's interesting the Clintons didn't show up, too. I don't know. I mean, I guess they held strong.
A lot of bad blood there. Look, even though Cheney tended to, you know, deal respectfully with opponents, he clearly had disdain for the Clintons and the Obamas, and neither one of them were there.
Mm-hmm. Obamas too. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, the Obamas were not there. They were invited and chose not to show up. But look, I was there, and people forget this, but when Obama took office in 2009. The whole Republican establishment was sort of cowed by him. They didn't, you know, he came in, he had won a reasonable size victory, he was the media hero, he was on his honeymoon, and they didn't know how to handle him, and everybody was sort of hiding in a corner, except for Dick Cheney. In like the second month of Obama's term, Cheney did a speech at the American Enterprise Institute, and I was there, where he absolutely lit into Obama, you know, not using extravagant language, but just
on policy,
based on foreign and defense policy. Mm-hmm. And it unnerved Obama so much that Obama called a last-minute press conference to coincide with it to the very minute, so he could take some of the, you know, national live cable coverage away from Cheney, because of course when a new president throws a press conference, that's got to be live.
Mm-hmm.
And so he literally did that because he was so unnerved by what Cheney was doing. And Cheney, he wasn't disrespectful, but he laid out the case that Obama was denuding the military And he did it forcefully. He did it logically. He did it brilliantly. And he was the man who had the guts to stand up when other people didn't.
Never heard that story before. That's interesting.
Also, I don't know. I know you said you were going to try to reconnect with some contacts and kind of get some scoops up there. What is Liz Cheney's future or political future looking like? Or do you have any guesses or ideas?
That I don't know. I did not actually end up talking to people in the Cheney inner circle. I've met with a lot of other old acquaintances, but I don't think Liz has any plans right now political. I think she's still grieving.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been the time, right?
She and her father were very close. Look, she gave a very, very nice eulogy. She had one half of a sentence that very vaguely, might have been taken to allude to current politics. Literally one half of a sentence is all, and the rest of it was about how her father instilled in both her and her sister a love for country and a love for history, and that it came from the heart. And it was very nice. The whole thing was classy and appropriate, no matter what political perspective you're coming from.
Good info there, and glad you made it back. Want to talk local or state politics too, as I guess you could say the gubernatorial's heating up a little bit with Doug Jones officially entering as Democrat to run against Tommy Tuberville.
I don't know if that heats it up much. It's something to talk about.
It's warmer than it was, right?
Yeah.
And there are some other names in the mix, but it's looking like Tubbs versus Jones part two, this time for the governor's office. Your thoughts?
Well, first of all, Tommy Tuberville, obviously in a very, very conservative state, is the odds-on favorite against Doug Jones, but Doug Jones' entrance makes it slightly less of an absolute slam dunk. Prepare for Jones to re-up the arguments that Tuberville doesn't even represent Alabama because he doesn't even really live here. Even now, he doesn't really live in Alabama. He lives in Florida and in Washington, D.C., and Jones will probably try that again. It didn't seem to work the first time. But it also could very well be that if Republican polls keep looking as bad as they do right now, that Jones thinks that that could depress Republican turnout and therefore give him a chance against Tuberville. It's not likely, but at least puts it on the map as a slightly possible Democratic pickup, but very unlikely.
You're also disappointed that no other Republicans are, I don't think any are really coming
forward
yet.
Well, you have Ken McFeeters. He's the only other Republican currently in the race, but he's not a heavyweight of any note,
and you had Ainsworth, who was going to be his next move, and suddenly when Tuberville decided to do what he's doing, Ainsworth just kind of silently went back to his business world
and endorsed Tuberville and donated.
Look, I'm always one who thinks that competition is good, and I am sort of disgusted that no other well-known Republican is challenging him. Tommy Tuberville has had 5 years of being able to be one of 100 in the Senate, and he knows how to speak up at the right point. But the job of a senator and a governor is very different. I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm just saying that he hasn't had to prove the sorts of skills and abilities that it takes to be governor, much less any knowledge of state government. And people do not take into account the fact that experience actually does matter. And so I think it's a shame no major Republican is challenging him to sort of force him to not just rest on his laurels, but to actually go out and earn it.
Do you think that he's, as we speak, is he doing his homework, his study work, to understand all that goes into being the governor of the state as opposed to being the U.S. senator? Because they are two completely different jobs.
two completely different jobs, and I don't think the public appreciates that enough. It's not just something where you go out and learn the state issues, although that's important, and the state issues and the national issues really are different. But it's also the people, the bureaucracies, the way that the government functions, and it's also, I mean, knowing how Montgomery works. Granted, you might want to shake up how it works, but you still got to know how it works to know how to shake it up.
Yep.
And also, it's just the executive administrative roles that, I mean, yeah, he's been a head coach, but is that the same kind of thing?
Well, he's been a senator. Too. I mean, he's had this whole term as senator. I mean, people were saying he wasn't experienced enough to run for Senate. He's been in Senate for, and I think he's done a pretty dang good job. I know he's made a lot of people upset.
I'm just saying, as Dan said, being a senator and being one of 100 is a completely different job from the administrative, executive kinds of tasks you need to do as governor. And I'm not saying he's not a good choice. I'm saying that somebody should challenge him and make him earn it, and maybe in the process give him some other skills that he may or may not like. I mean, may or may not have.
He's going to have close relationships with lawmakers, obviously. 8:23, Quinn will be back in just a moment, okay?
Okay.
All right, more with Quinn Hillier on the way next. Mobile Mornings.
Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
Happy Thanksgiving to all of you here in a couple of days, including to you, Quinn Hillier.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. And Thanksgiving is, it is both a religious and a patriotic holiday. It's the only one that combines both elements, and as such, I think it's a particularly wonderful one for us to celebrate.
I don't know if we, and I apologize, I don't know if we left you with enough time, but I know Washington and Madison had some words about Thanksgiving back in the day, and you wanted to note those.
Yeah, look, George Washington, the very first year he was president, on October 3rd, set November Thursday, the 26th of November, as a National Thanksgiving Day. And I urge people to look it up online and read the whole thing. It's wonderful. But referencing the War for Independence, he said we should thank Providence for the great, up quote now, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government, for our safety and happiness, and for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which he, God, hath been pleased to confer upon us. Wonderful, wonderful sentiments. The whole thing is fantastic. This should be a unifying holiday. Don't talk politics over your Thanksgiving table. Talk about how much you're grateful for this country and for each other.
Well said.
And I'm loving the turn to patriotism here, like with the Ken Burns documentary and stuff. But not many people know, after he said that, Washington said, how about them Cowboys, and watched football for the rest of the afternoon.
He certainly didn't say, how about them Commanders?
No, he did not.
And there wasn't a word breathed about the Saints.
No.
It's 8:30. Thanks, Quinn.
Thanks.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Yes, and we're back. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Want to tell you about them in this segment here. Well, you're probably thinking about it right now, especially if you're hosting Thanksgiving. You look around and you go, wow, I did not prepare to host for Thanksgiving in time for this. Maybe you got a lot of junk laying around the house or a pile of it outside, and it's time to go. You know, even the big items like the trampolines, and they've taken sheds down. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, they do great work. That's one of the main reasons that Trey Bennett and his crew have been doing work around here for over 18 years in Mobile and Baldwin counties, making junk disappear. And it's really easy to set up an appointment with them as well. You can call the number 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or you can go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, book your in-person estimate, and they'll call or text you 15 to 30 minutes before they arrive. And then that estimate's all-inclusive. It means they're not going to hit you with surprise charges after the work is done. You get that estimate and no obligation. You can say no at any time. But once you agree to a price and a time, then all you have to do is point and watch your junk disappear. And they'll get to work removing your items right away. Tons of five-star Google reviews for 1-800-GOT-JUNK if you search them out. This one left by, let's go to Robin a month ago, left a five-star review, said, "Your company was fantastic, clean, efficient, and supremely helpful. I would recommend them to anyone, especially the team of four young men that I had." So 1-800-GOT-JUNK, you're probably already thinking about it with Thanksgiving coming up. If you're hosting and got Christmas around the corner too, plenty of time to get them on the line and get them out to your home or business. 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Talking about Tupperville on the text line this morning at 251-343-0106. Mike says Tubbs has been good for our state as senator. Also, one more down from that, we've got BA saying Obama went from one-term senator to president. I think Tubbs can handle governor.
Yeah, so Obama was, what, community organizer and then senator and then president.
Well, he's probably a representative before he became senator.
No.
What'd you think?
No, I don't think he was. I need to double check on that. But I think he went straight from Senate to the White House. And then
from Senate to the White House, but I would think he...
Check out the Obama timeline
I can't imagine it, because he became a star at an earlier convention, and then...
So he was a state senator. Yeah. He was a state senator and then ran for U.S. Senate.
State,
that's right.
State senator, and he ended up at the National Democratic Convention and had a speech or something, and he was a state senator at the time, not a big deal. That put him on the path to becoming a U.S. senator.
Yeah, and ripping destiny from Hillary Clinton's hands for the first time, and then Trump ripped it from her hands the second time. Mm-hmm. So good point there, B.A. Jason says the Cheney described by Quinn is not the one we all witnessed in action. He says Quinn's love for those entrenched swamp rats like Cheney is completely out of touch with popular opinion and reality. The families of those lost in pointless wars that Cheney championed see him for what he really was. And, you know, I have kind of the same sentiments just based on what other veterans and people have, you know, said about Cheney over the last 15 to 20 years. But I think Quinn made a good point. The power of the media and their ability to shift
public
opinion. He didn't see my opinion.
Yeah.
But my point
was the same thing.
They did the same thing to Trump, except instead of calling him Darth Vader, they call him Hitler. And not only did the media make Cheney the evil man, they also made him a great man. Remember, just a few years ago when he came out against Trump, all of a sudden.
That's how that there's the Maddow connection right there.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying, what's Rachel Maddow doing there?
It's the only thing apparently agree on.
Yeah.
So absurd.
Did he go to The View?
Did Cheney go on The View?
I'm wondering.
He may have. That's a good question.
I'm wondering. Wow.
Yeah. Texter here says, let's see here. Dalton, the Warrior Legacy Ranch is one of the organizations that will receive a large donation from the Gulf of America Jeep Festival that we're having next September at the Hangout in Gulf Shores.
Oh, great.
That's Walt from Somerdale. So the Gulf of America Jeep Fest coming up next September, and you're raising money, and Warrior Legacy Ranch, one of those that the money's going to go to.
So it's at the wharf?
At the Hangout.
Hangout, okay.
In Gulf Shores. So there's going to be a lot of those little rubber duckies around the beach.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Jeep people with their ducks. Mm-hmm. Butterknife says, Tupperville doesn't care about Alabama if he doesn't know the problems now. Just shows you he never actually cared. Same way with AJ. If you didn't care enough to vote for Trump, proves he doesn't actually care. Now, I could see your argument if AJ McCarron truly hasn't voted, which I think they admitted to. Yeah, that would be, to me, something to look into. You know, why do you want to run if you haven't ever even voted? But the Tupperville doesn't care about Alabama. Where do you get that from, Butterknife? You know, give me some facts for why you think Tupperville doesn't care about Alabama. And, you know, Jeff was talking about it yesterday, too, this argument that he's not really an Alabamian, he doesn't live in Alabama. Well, he has an address here, and he has served the state for an entire term as U.S. Senator. And I think he's done a lot of good for the people of Alabama and a lot of good for veterans across the nation. I know he's a lot of people don't like him for his stance on things. A lot of Republicans don't like him for his stance on things.
He definitely shook some things up. What was his biggest controversial move.
Well, you know, where, holding up the Senate confirmations.
Yeah, yeah, all the confirmations, right.
Yeah, that was the big one that at least made more people mad at him than anything else had.
But he stood on what he believed, and that was that's not as political as a lot of people are. I mean, he was just like, he didn't like the idea of those abortions being funded.
Yeah.
And stood on it, and I think a lot of Alabamians stood beside him.
And that says more about his character than a lot of Republicans, I think, that run on the same thing but don't put their money where their mouth is. And also, when are we going to get over the no experience argument? I mean, Kay Ivey has been in state politics her entire dang life, and I don't think she's been a stellar governor. I mean, sure, she's done some things I like, but all in all, I think for the most part, over her time as governor, we've all been looking around going, you know, when's our governor going to act? And then when she does act, she doesn't seem to act the way that we want her to.
I think that governor may suit Tuberville better, because as the governor, you are flat out, you know, you're in a position of leadership over everything Alabama. You're the face of Alabama. He was the face of a university's football program, which is pretty close to being the face of the state.
Yeah.
And
for that, when he was a national championship winning coach, he was kind of the face of the state for some time. Well, maybe Cam Newton.
He wasn't there then.
No, you're right. So before, but with Jason Campbell,
they kind of felt like they got screwed at the national championship. I think that was 2005 where
UCF,
where they won it all. No, this was Auburn was undefeated. Jeez. They didn't get in the championship game because Oklahoma and LSU were USC, somebody, you know, they ended up not getting in there back in the early 2000s. I mean, Tuberville obviously is a leader. I think leadership qualities are something you cannot deny that he's got, and that's going to be a good portion of this job, is to set the tone, lead the state. Again, he's going to have to learn the nuances of the job. I don't think that's beyond him. He's going to have to understand he has to have a lot of relationships with those lawmakers, but he certainly can do that. I just think that kind of even suits him even better if he's fired up and really wants to do the job.
And, you know, I've been annoyed at some Tuberville interviews in the past, but I didn't realize, and Jeff Poore's been talking about this for some time, but I've never really watched a full speech of his to an audience. And he was the headliner of that Turning Point event at Auburn just a few weeks ago. I watched that entire thing. He's a powerful public speaker. I think that's where he truly shines.
Jeff's always said that. He said that when 5 years ago. He said, you ought to see him in front of people when he's got the audience. He's got this pretty, you know, kind of a degree of charisma, and he can really bring an audience in.
Butterknife did answer, so let's... I think it's fair to go through what he had to respond here. He can't speak on any of the issues. He should have already known the issues. He's trying to answer the question about Royal Hospitals. He has nothing to say. He's been a good senator, but he has not done anything for Alabama. He's been asked on numerous interviews, and his response is, I'm still a U.S. senator, so I'm focused on that. There's experience, and then there's not having any knowledge of the issues. Well, Butterknife, I think he'll be able to get a... If he doesn't already have some, which you say he's not answering, like he knows the in-depth issues of Alabama. But, you know, a lot of the issues of Alabama he has been listening to and responding to as senator, just like Katie Britt has.
Well, so. He went across the state and then some, right? Over and over again, running for U.S. senator. So he got an earful of, I know you're mostly, that's kind of like more national issues, but that's not what you get when you travel the state. You get to find out what the people are saying is going on with them locally. And so by traversing the state that way, and by talking to so many Alabamians, I think anybody that's run for a statewide office in this state, probably the education alone in campaigning, if you have your ears and your eyes open at all, you have a better understanding of the state than most of us.
That's a good point. And, you know, on the plus side, for the people that says he lives in Florida, it ought to make getting this I-10 bridge fixed a priority of his, just so he can get over there a little faster. That's a joke.
Swing through Mobile.
And I want to get through these texts because I've got to break down this ShamWow guy running for Congress in Texas. Let's see. Captain Doug says, I hope Tuberville. I can't read this text because I can't understand one of the words there, Captain Doug. Maybe try again because I'm not exactly sure what you're getting at there. Texter here says they gave him 6 or 7 national championships, didn't they? LOL.
He was one.
Randy says, shameless plug for you two. All right, well, I always like that. I grew up in Birmingham listening to TC and John Ed. It was such awesome memories. Thank you for continuing it here in Mobile as I'm nearing my 60s and enjoy a good local talk show. Thank you, Randy.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate that. Another texter here. Y'all should have asked Quinn, was Ronald Reagan a successful governor without having experience in political office for California? And that seems just like kind of the easy way to say, you shouldn't vote for them. They don't have experience. Well, I mean, there are plenty of people who became politicians who weren't politicians to begin with.
Does the name Bill Bradley mean anything to you? He was a Democratic senator, but he was also in college a great scorer, like 40 points a game at Princeton. He played for the New York Knicks in the NBA, won a championship, won two with them as a small forward. What's a jock like that doing in the U.S. Senate? But
yeah.
He represented New Jersey for probably decades.
Wow. Okay, Captain Doug, thank you. You said, I hope Tuberville doges the hell out of ALDOT and the Education Trust Fund. Yes, that would be nice. And, you know, bad news for Doge. It has been officially disbanded up in D.C., mm-hmm. So I guess they ran into the swamp too thick for Doge. They tried their best.
There could be some real changes if Tuberville comes in, has his sights set on things that he thinks are inefficiently and unfairly done in the state of Alabama at the very top, you're going to see some people quickly out of place.
Yeah, I hope that he comes with character.
Yeah.
And that he truly, you know, cuts through the BS and the bureaucratic, you know, mess that we have around the state. There's so many things that could be fixed that so many governors have just kind of had a blind eye to.
It's funny the way that the governors need lawmakers, and at the same time, when Ivy puts her foot down, she gets what she wants. I don't know what the magic is there. Not every governor's been able to just pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
But they generally, I think that it's really needed to have a good relationship with the lawmakers. And at the same time, we've seen time and time again, when Ivy's over a situation, she's over it, and that's it.
Yeah. Terry says, Doug Jones versus Tuberville. When do the underage mall rats make their tearful appearance? And he says, our system was originally designed to be governed by people with no experience. The founders were trying to avoid a ruling class like we had fought to get rid of, yet here we are. Another texter here.
I still see Tuberville more of an outsider than as a. I know as a U.S. senator, you would say he's far from that. But you know, where was he 5 years ago? I mean, it's, he's new blood in politics.
Yeah, relatively new blood.
Yeah.
Texter here. I meant to post this yesterday, but a big shout out to the South Alabama production team for doing a poor job during Senior Day. During a great day for the senior announcements at the JAG game, they cut off the Jumbotron from showing several of the seniors. Horrible job the whole day. Wow. Didn't realize that.
No. And I would say the experience at South games is generally pretty good with the scoreboard, the announcements, mm-hmm. and everything that they do to enhance the experience.
I think it's good. And, you know, I don't have sensitive ears, but it takes me several hours after a Jags game to get the ringing out of my ears. They've got that place turned up.
They got it up on 12.
Daniel in Foley says, what does Doug Jones know about being a governor? Good question there. What experience does he have?
None.
As governor? Art says, my thoughts about Tuberville is that he was doing a good job in the Senate. He was a strong supporter of President Trump. I don't know who we will get to replace Tuberville. Katie Bridge, I think you meant Britt. Katie Britt done a good job, but we need 2 strong supporters of the president. We don't know what we will get for governor, but as KIV has proven, we don't need a good governor to keep moving forward. That from Art. And we'll keep the text going. 251-343-0106. When we come back here.
You're going to do ShamWow then?
I have to talk about Mr. ShamWow.
Okay,
Vince
ShamWow.
Shlomi, who I haven't thought about since, I guess, the last what was the chopping thing called? You know, the last thing he was hawking on the QVC kind of channels and the infomercials.
Well, we first learned of Mr. ShamWow guy in 2006, and then there was an incident in Miami in 2009 that I kind of forgot about, but we'll get back to that as well.
And he's been making videos all along the way, but now he's running for Congress in Texas. You're not going to believe some of this on the way next.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Well, that's us. So it's time to talk again, but it's one of our last times of the morning as we turn it over to Jeff Poor, the Jeff Poor Show, a little after 9 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, coming up on the Jeff Poor Show, he'll have political consultant Will Hampson, who's been in this studio previously. Also, April Marie Fogle with 1819 News at 10:30, and then ALGOP Chairman John Wall after 11:30. So this story that I pulled, and I thought, you know, this is kind of crazy. I haven't thought about this guy in a long time. But the ShamWow pitchman, Vince ShamWow Shlomi, filed to run for Congress in Texas's 31st district as a Republican.
He's not going to win.
He's 61. Don't say that too soon. 61-year-old entrepreneur says he's motivated to destroy wokeism. Ah, aren't we all? Honor the late Charlie Kirk and make America happy. Different spin on the make America great.
Isn't that America nice and quaint?
And he's challenging an 84-year-old incumbent, Representative John Carter. The Republican will win this race, whoever comes out in the primary, because it's a reliably red district. But
let's say the 84-year-old guy succumbs between now and Election Day. He will win the race.
So you might know Vince Shlomi from ShamWow, but he also had the Slap Chop, a lint roller called the Sticky.
Like a lint roller is some sort of a miracle. How does it do that?
A liquid cleaner called Invincible, a play on his name, and a another kitchen utensil, a variation of the Slap Chop. This is the Crank Chop.
So. And so he saw ShamWow. He saw ShamWow. This guy's such a, he's just a natural pitch man. He's not an inventor. He didn't invent any of this, even though it's all crap. But he saw the ShamWow in a,
I wouldn't say that. Maybe ShamWow might be good. I've never used one.
He saw it at a flea market.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, you didn't even know. You don't know the future you could have if I were to tell America about your ShamWow.
So he cut one commercial that cost $20,000, and it was critically acclaimed. And then now we all know who Vince ShamWow Shlomi is. Wow. But he was born in Israel, grew up in Brooklyn,
right.
Now running for Congress in Texas. And Leanna, well, we were talking about him earlier this morning, said, didn't he have like some legal issues back in the day?
And yeah, I was scandals.
Like, I said, I don't know. I wasn't keeping up with Vince ShamWow Shlomi. But an 09 arrest... Shlomi and an alleged sex worker were both arrested in Miami Beach, Florida, following a physical fight in his hotel room.
Mm.
According to the police report, Shlomi paid Harris $1,000 for action, I'll say, but she bit his tongue and wouldn't let go, leading Shlomi to punch her repeatedly.
Okay.
Both were arrested on felony aggravated battery charges, and they later dropped the charges due to a lack of a clear victim. Look, they were both victims.
If you're going to have some sort of an engagement with a sex worker, keep it friendly.
I guess you're telling ShamWow Shlomi that about 20 years too late.
I'm telling the entire audience. But this is just something to think about as you move on with your day.
I didn't realize this, too, though. He's continued to make videos and continued to hawk products like this terrible video called Woke Busters, where, you know, he's just kind of playing off of the whole anti-woke thing. This came out a month ago. He has like a, I think it might be him, cross-dressing, playing the role of the woke.
It's terrible.
So he's just trying to ride the wave. Also, I didn't know this. They made a ShamWow mask in the early days of COVID. I wonder if that'll come back to bite him on the campaign
and
trail.
And he's a conservative? Really? Mr. ShamWow?
He was not only wanting us to mask up, but use the ShamWow mask.
Use his mask so he can make a buck or two.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
he's not going to win.
All right, let's make a bet. Vince ShamWow Shlomi, next member of Congress representing Texas District 31.
Don't think so. 8:59, Jeff Poor on the way.